he was born and he became this like prophet for eventually what would become Christianity. And then at the age of 32, he died on the cross, and it's like 3 days later he was resurrected.
I don't have an opinion on Jesus. I believe that religion was just created to control the masses, really.
Jesus is our Lord and Savior that died on the cross for us, for our sins.
Jesus is a person that existed that continues to enrich the lives of people every day.
Jesus is God's son, and he was sent to save our sins.
I think he is a pretty cool guy. He had a peaceful philosophy. I think he's misinterpreted by a lot of people.
He's the savior of this world.
I don't know, because I don't really believe in him, so I don't really think anything of him.
I mean, he could have been a real person. I mean, I'm sure he was. I mean, I'm sure he was just, you know, good at what he did or something.
I feel that Jesus is a modern-day scapegoat.
Jesus is God, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just learned that.
Jesus was a man, from what I figure.
Who is Jesus? He was a dude, lived back in the day. Pretty awesome. He had a beard.
He was just kind of a guy with a really unique, positive message as that kind of gave a lot of people a lot of hope.
He probably existed, but I don't believe that he was the Son of God or anything.
He died on the cross for us and saved us and rose again from the dead.
I wanted to sound smart, but...
Who am I? Who am I? And today we're going to talk about who is Jesus? You heard many different answers in that little short video clip. He's the Son of God. He's a Savior of the world. He was a pretty cool dude. He had a beard. He was misunderstood, misinterpreted by a lot of people. Basically, he was a good guy, and he showed us how to live right. Lots of different answers. And guess what? All those answers that they gave, they were given back in the day, too. People still don't know who Jesus is, who he was, who he is today. We're going to look at who the Bible says that Jesus is. It's important for us to understand that if Jesus is really and truly going to be the Savior, the rescuer of your souls, it's important that we be convinced that he's big enough to get the job done, don't you think? We don't need some weak and passive type of Jesus. We need the real Jesus, the powerful Jesus. But the problem is, that's exactly the problem in our world today, is that Jesus is viewed by many as this poor cynic traveling around with nothing but the clothes on his back. Lets people push him around, and he begs and pleads with people just to like him. That's the image that a lot of people have of this Jesus. Paul wrote, and we're going to study in Colossians, so if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1. But Paul wrote a section here that really identifies who Jesus is. And he tells us that Jesus Christ in this passage is, he more than measures up to the task. We're going to look at it. We're going to break it down and kind of look at it real slowly, section by section. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Y'all, let me tell you, this passage, when I came across this passage this last week, I thought, wow. Matter of fact, it was last Sunday, and I was in my office, and Mark came by, and he said, "What are you going to preach on tonight?" And I said, "I have no idea, because this passage came to me. And I was going to preach on this passage Sunday night," but he said, I just told him, I said, it's too good. It's too good. Not that the Sunday night crowd's not important, but this is a Sunday morning message here. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, isn't that something? He is the image of the invisible God. You know what the Greek word for that image? The Greek word is icon. Now, some of you know what an icon is, right? An icon. The icon means it's an image or reflection, that which resembles an object. Now, you may be familiar with some icons today. There's a Taylor, there's a PowerPoint. Would you start that PowerPoint and just let me kind of walk through those slides there? Icons, things that represent. When you see this, what do you think of? Roger Staubach. But what comes to your mind when you Roger Staubach? What's it come to? What brings football? Okay, winning. Days of old. Okay, the next one. What comes to your mind when you see this picture? Basketball. Who is that? Michael Jordan. He didn't even play ball anymore, but people still recognize. Okay, the next one. NASCAR. Who is that? That's Dale Earnhardt Sr. Here's one. What comes to your mind when you see this? Cookies. Cooking. Okay. Next one. Windows, Microsoft. Okay, and then it's the other side of it. The next one? Apple. Phones. All right. Yeah, okay. So icons aren't always good, right? Okay, next. What's that bring to you? 9/11. Terrorist. That's right. What comes to your mind when you see a picture of Billy Graham? Preaching, man of God. Okay. Bathroom. This is an important symbol, y'all. This is an important symbol. You need to know what that represents. This is, by the way, go back. This is women. And this is the men, okay? That way, I'd hate for y'all to get mixed up and end up in the wrong one. I'm always paranoid when I go into the bathroom because I'm always double-checking the door to make sure I'm going in the right one. There's a restaurant. I won't name the name of it, over in the Woodlands. When you walk in and I go into the men's room, go in, take care of business, wash my hands, powder my nose, all that kind of stuff. And I'm walking out, and on the inside of the door, it says ladies or senoritas or whatever it is. And I have this, I almost have a heart attack every time. It's like, have I been in the wrong place? And I open up the door and check the outside, and I think, they tricked me. Well, every time I go in there, it's the same thing. So it's important to know the symbols. Okay, there's some other ones that I don't have pictures of. Mother Teresa. What comes to your mind when I say Mother Teresa? Missions. Okay, great. What if I say Mary Kay? Makeup. If I say Michael Phelps, what comes to your mind? Swimming. I think Subway. Yeah, all the advertisements and some images from 4 years ago that aren't really cool. That's right. Bill Gates. Money. Steve Jobs. Apple. Okay. What if I said Sodom and Gomorrah? What comes to your mind? Destruction. Evil. Wickedness. Okay. The wrath of God. Wow. What if I said Pearl Harbor? Or USS Arizona? Yeah. What if I said Space Shuttle Challenger? What comes to your mind? Space? The explosion. Okay, Space Shuttle Challenger, the one that exploded going up into space. How many missions did that space shuttle fly? A whole bunch of them. But that's what we remember, right? That's the iconic memory we have when we think about that. All these are icons. They're something that jars our memory. They're images or words that represent something. Plato called the reflection of the sun on the water. He called it, that's the icon. It's a reflection, but he said that's the icon. That's something that represents the sun. You see, God has a reflection, and his name is Jesus Christ. This passage tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. There's nothing in God's nature that would not be found in Jesus Christ. He is the exact image. There's nothing in Jesus that would contradict any aspect of God. He is the image, the reflection of his exact likeness. John 14, verse 9 says, anyone who has seen me, Jesus is speaking, he said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. He said, I am the icon. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. This is a huge passage. It's powerful. He was never a part of creation. He existed with the Father before creation. And if you look at verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. All things. He is the creator. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and whom we live. And there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. John 1, verse 3 says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He is the creator. No wonder the wind and the waves obeyed him, right? He made them. We, that's you and me, and everybody else, are self-centered people. And we think creation was all for us and about us, that God made this world for us and for us to live in and for us to enjoy. This passage says that it was all created by him and for him. It's for God's glory that he created everything, including you and me. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things. If you have, grab the red book in front of you, the hymn book, and turn to page 43. This is an old hymn. It says here the guy that wrote this lived from 1958 to 1901. That's when this, sometime in there is when this song was written. It's an older song. But listen to these words. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won. There's a thought out there that God is nature. That God is nature. God is not nature. God's the creator of nature. For ages and eons, people have celebrated God's creation. The sun god, the sea god, the god of the seas, the god of lightning, Thor, the god of lightning, the god of beauty, the god of whatever. God created all of that. We focus on God's creation and we worship the creation. But God says, you worship the creator. I'm the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. All things were made by him and for him. That means he receives all the glory. That, y'all, this is powerful stuff. Verses 18 through 20, this little section tells us that Jesus is all we need. Verse 18 says this. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. In verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is all we need. You see, we have the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. He is the exact representation. There is no need, as if it were even possible, to add anything to Jesus. Even if we could add something to Jesus, it would be taking away from his glory, as if to say he wasn't enough. There is nothing else more needed. Nothing else more possible. He's everything. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. Jesus must be first in everything. You know, a lot of people say they're Christians, but yet deny the deity of Jesus. There's a passage in John chapter 5 that I'm going to read to you. It's 5:19 through 23. Jesus gave them this answer. He says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Remember, exact representation. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Verse 23, listen to this. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. He is first. He has the supremacy. He is preeminent. He is all there is. Verse 21. In this section says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But verse 22, I love this. He says, but now he has reconciled you to Christ. Reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Do you know why Christ did that? Why he went to the cross to make that sacrifice for you and for me? The plan was so that he could present us as blameless. We're stained. We're dirty. We're tainted. But when Christ washes us clean, he's good enough to wash it all away and present us as blameless. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The problem is we messed it up. This passage between 18 and 20 really is the gospel message. Actually, even further than that, between 18 through 23. I'm going to read this in its entirety again. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in him everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That's the gospel message right there, folks. Jesus came. This Jesus who wasn't created, he is the creator, and he came in the form of a man to rescue us. When I think of icon, I think of the little things on my phone or my iPad or on the computer screen, the little pictures that represent the program. If I want to get into the program, what must I do? I must go through the icon. That'll preach right there. If I want the program, I got to go through the icon. The only way into the Father, Jesus says, is through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's who Jesus is. Not just a cool dude with a beard. Not just a peaceful guy with a peaceful philosophy. Not just some guy who walked around doing good things. Jesus Christ is the Creator, God Almighty. Came, sacrificed himself for you and for me. That's awesome. This picture that I get when I read this passage, it just messes me up. To realize, to recognize how big God is and how important he is, and that he loves me, and he came, went through this horrible death and all that, but just for me. He included you too, but really, he was just as much for you as it was for me. Because the truth is, you're a sinner just like me. We may not do the same sins all the time, but we're all sinners. We're all guilty of sins. Every one of us. The gospel message. It's throughout all of Scripture, the gospel message is. We think of the Gospels as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here we get to Colossians and we're presented with the gospel yet again. It's all throughout the Scripture. The gospel is this. God loves you. You're separated from God because of sin. But he's made a way through the icon to draw you into the program. The question is, do you want to be part of the program? Do you want to be part of the program? There's only one way. You have to go through the icon. You have to go through the exact representation that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through him. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. Jesus is the way. He's not just a cool guy. He's not just somebody who exists. He wasn't just a prophet. That guy said, I'm sure he was good at whatever he did. I'm sure he existed. Well, those are true, but there's more to who Jesus was and who Jesus is even today. Will you accept him in your life? Will you allow him to have first place in all things? That means even in you and in me. I have to ask myself, am I still allowing Jesus to have first place in my life? Do I want him to be first place in my life? Or are other things more important right now? Remember, all things were created by him and for him. That includes you and I. We're created by him. We're created for him. How are we living our lives? Who has first place in our lives? Let me ask you that question. Let me encourage you, don't leave until you've answered that question today. We're going to stand. Mark's going to lead us in the hymn of invitation. If I can do anything for you, I'm going to be here at the front. There's the prayer benches. This time is for you to respond. If you have a decision to make for Christ, if you're challenged by him, let me encourage you. Answer that question before you leave. And if I can be of assistance, I'll be in the front. But this is your time. You come as you need.